Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. We're in our poured out message series, and that has to look like something. Amen. I mean, it has to look like something. And I've been praying, there's a lot of neat stuff happening right now. God is talking to a lot of people, and a lot of neat stuff is happening. And hallelujah. I have a couple of prophetic words, but I only know one of them right now. So I'm going to share the one I have, and I'm just going to believe God's going to keep talking. Is that all right? Gina, can you stand up for me? How you doing today? Feeling good? Hallelujah. Just, I don't know, your husband will weigh this. I saw you, I had a vision, and it's kind of funny. I don't want you to hear this for what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong. I'm not saying that. And if you get somebody rebuking you from the pulpit, you know it's not God. Right? So it's not that. But I saw you grinding. I saw you grinding, trying to build something. And I felt like the Lord said, the end product is not going to look like you think, but your grinding will get you there. Does that make sense? And so I saw you kind of like mixing faith and works in a good way, and not seeing the product that you were looking for. And I don't know what this means exactly, but I see you not getting the fruit you were looking for. But I see what you're doing is going to get you where God has you. Even if you don't see the fruit in the meantime, but trust that your grinding is that's a character trait that he put on the inside of you. And if you didn't do that, it wouldn't get you where you're supposed to be. Right? And so I see, no, that's a good word, right, Corey? I think that's a good word. And so I really feel like the Lord says, just it may not get easier, but it's worth it. And you're gonna make it. Amen? That's a good word right there. I take that for me, amen? I find a neat thing in the kingdom. It's a lot like life, Lillian. If you work harder, you get farther. Have you noticed that? I mean, there's some luck has to do with it, right? There's a little favor that helps. When you work harder, you get farther. When you use the talents God gave you. You know, most of you have talents that are untapped. And if you just use the talents God gave you, you'll get farther than some people who were born with more, who are just coasting. I have found that we have choices to make in life, and we can relax or we can get ahead. I found we can't generally do both at the same time. You know, we can rest in Christ. But you get a little lazy with your walk, and what happens? I don't find myself drawing closer to God. Right? You get lazy at your job, you have to find a new job eventually, right? I don't want to find a new job. I like the one I got. How about you? And the one I got is better than not having one. Find the better before you quit the one you have. Shekaba. Shakaba. Let's just seek the Lord for a second, can we? I'm sorry. I wish this were more polished, but he didn't give it to me polished. Let's just wait on the Lord for a second. Hallelujah. Frank, I can't get around this. Can you stand for me? I can't get around this. Yeah, can you stand for me? I don't know what this means, but the Lord has birthed something on the inside of you. And what's weird about what he's given you is you see the entire plans for the city he's given you. Now, I don't know natural, spiritual. I don't know what this means. But I see that he's completely downloaded the blueprints on the inside of you. Most people get a speck. You got the whole blueprints. Wow. He's given you the master plan, but you don't know, you haven't been given the plot yet for where it's supposed to be built. And so it's not that you heard him wrong. It's not that the vision, it's not even people. It's just that he hasn't given you the plot of land yet. And I really feel like the vision he's given you, the goal he's given you, like you can see the skyline, but you don't know where you're standing looking at it. What's kind of funny is this is like almost the exact opposite word I gave Gina. You're not going to grind your way into it because this is you position yourself to receive this land to build this thing. And I have no idea what that means. I got to be honest with you. I have absolutely no idea what that means. I know that you're in construction, but I don't know that this has to do with construction. This might be the metaphor, but I just want to affirm that you heard him right, that thing on the inside of you is God. Does that make sense? Well, praise God. Whatever that means, I'd sure like to know. Share that with me one day. That would be cool. I don't know. Hallelujah. 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 Here's a funny thing that I have happened to me. For those of you who... when the anointing comes on me, I forget names. Like anybody's name. And so for a long time in this church, I would just like, it was kind of known that you would just be homeboy or homegirl. That was like just a standard. I remember calling Lydia one time. I was like, homegirl. She's like, I've been here 3 years. I'm in charge of the ministry teams. Like, I don't remember your name. I'm sorry. It just happens to me. And so sometimes I get prophetic words for people. I'm like, but I don't know what their name is. And that'll be embarrassing. Let me tell you what that's really embarrassing. When you're doing a wedding. And you don't remember the people's names that you're marrying. And so you got to say things like, in you, strong groom. And to you, beautiful bride. Is this too real? If I don't say your name at your wedding, it's because the anointing was there. We always blame it on God, right? Brent, stand for me. I got a word for you. I don't know what this means either. I see a multiplication coming to you. Here's what's weird. I see you walked into something that other people could be envious of. You walked into it and you're like, doesn't make me better, doesn't make me worse. Just it is what it is. But I see something happening on the inside of you, multiplying that. But I feel like because you didn't take credit for that which you had no control over, God can trust you with the more. Does that make sense? So he can trust you with the more. And I feel like I'm hearing this word. I feel like God is giving you a heart of philanthropy. And that's not philandering, all right? For those of you who are not quite sure on English, those are two entirely different words. But it's giving you a heart for philanthropy, and I don't know why, because you're kind of young to have a heart for philanthropy. I'd like a heart for philanthropy. That means he's going to give me the ability to be philanthropic. That would be all right, amen? But it's a super spiritual way of the gift of giving. That's just a spiritual. And so I feel like the Lord is going to work that grace on your life, and the Lord is going to teach you to separate your intellect. Like, how let me say it this way. He's gonna anoint that. That's what's been in your heart naturally. That's what he created you for. But now you're gonna see an anointing on it. Just like you're gonna see an anointing on the multiplication, you're gonna see an anointing on the giving, and he's gonna speak to you on where to sow that you wouldn't naturally necessarily do it with an intellectual decision. Does that make sense? It doesn't fit the grid. But you know, in your knower, you know by the Spirit of God that this is God's direction. Right? And I see I see a God account that's literally, it's sanctified. Like this is God's. And this goes only where he says. This only goes where he says. And if it goes nowhere for 2 years, because he didn't speak, then it just sits. And if he says, empty it out, I empty it out. But I see something holy, him setting aside. Does that make sense? Close your eyes, let me pray for you. Calvin, put your hand on his back if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus. Actually, if I gave you a word already, can you stand? I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, stand for me. And put your hand on your shoulder and don't start prophesying and don't yell. Just in the name of Jesus, I ask for your grace upon, wow. That you would do what you said you would do, Lord. That you would do what you said you would do. That you would do what you said you would do. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Rich, can you stand for me? This is a weird one. Okay, don't get offended. You know we're friends, right? I saw a slug. You're familiar with a slug, right? They move kind of slow, right? And like you'll see one in your house, you're like, how'd you get here, right? How'd you get here? But I feel like the Lord is, he's going to get you somewhere. People are like, how'd you get here? And there's going to leave, you just leave a trail where you're going. Like you're going to just leave a mark. And I feel like you don't need to worry where you're going to wind up. Close your eyes if you would. He's going to give vision right now. Hallelujah. Yeah, you don't have to worry about, like, it looks like it moves slow in your life, but that's just, you know, slow and steady wins the race. Wow. I don't know that you see the spiritual forces that are behind you empowering the decisions you're making. Wow. And I see the Lord really, between you and your wife, I see the wind of the Spirit. I see you guys just catching the wind of the Spirit in your lives. And I just see an acceleration coming. Just stay there in that for a second. It's like when I cycle for fitness, and against the wind, life is hard. With the wind, I'm amazing. I could win the Tour de France, right? Against the wind, I think about calling it Uber, right? With the wind, I impress myself. And I just see the wind coming to catch you, Rich. I see the wind coming to catch you. You might just want to catch the wind right now if you're in the room. That's a good word right there. Hallelujah. Well, that was a good word. Amen. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Is Sarah in Revival Kids? She's with the baby. Hi, Sarah. Oh, she's watching on the video. Oh, she's back there. Was that everything, Sarah? Was that everything? Yeah? I don't mean with the baby. I mean with the words. Was that everything? Is the baby full? Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike. How you feeling?
Good.
I'm feeling good. If any of those words, if you think like, that wasn't for them, that was for me, just take it. Just snatch that word. All right? Just, I think that was for me. Then just walk in it. Of course, you have to build a city. Or grind until, you know, but you know. Hallelujah. So we're in our poured out message series. Let me give you a real quick update on some prayer requests that I've been giving you. We have been looking at office spaces, and we've been looking at some other spaces, and we don't have anything to announce yet, but we would request that you would stay in prayer that every door that's supposed to be open would be open, and every door that's supposed to be closed would stay closed. Amen? Amen. And if Jesus wants to give us a free building, that's okay too. Just lean into that one, all right? You can just lean into that one, all right? Lean into that one. All right, if you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 11 for me, if you would. I am going to be done in about 30 minutes. And now I didn't say which 30 minutes. But I'll be done in about 35. About 35 minutes. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 9. Are you there? Yeah? This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Luke chapter 11, starting verse 9, Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Can you say amen to the reading of the word? Amen. Wow, there's so many things happening in this church right now. There's so many testimonies I've been receiving. So many amazing things. You know, we have a jail ministry that's happening, and there's great favor happening. And I don't want to give away too much. I don't want the enemy messing with plans too much. But we are praying that the folks in our prison ministry get access to Nicholas Cruz. Right? That's the boy who shot up the Parkland school. And it's not out of the realm of possibility, believe it or not. And so will you pray with that? Pray for that with us? That boy needs Jesus, amen? Because between me and you, they're going to kill him. And I'd rather see him in heaven than hell, amen? Right? That's the plan, amen? I deserve to go to hell. I mean, I didn't shoot up a school, but praise God. So just these are the kind of dreams that we're having as a house. Right? Doing big things. Amen? Amen? We got a video about that. Maybe we'll show next week, but it's an inside joke. I'm sorry. We're not actually going to play that. But big dreams are being birthed right now, and I want you to dream in those things. I want you to dream for the impossible Amen. With God. Amen? Amen. But here's what happens. We have really big dreams. We're taught really exciting things that tickle our ears, and they don't always happen. Amen? Have you noticed that it could feel like God has completely failed you, and it could feel like His word did not work? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed if you walk with God long enough, you're going to believe Him for things that will not happen? Have you noticed? You absolutely sure that that person's supposed to be your wife or your husband, and then they marry somebody and it's not you? That happens to people, amen? I know none of you, of course. None of you that's happened to. But this happens. You think you're going to get a promotion, you think you're going to go on a trip, you think something's going to happen, and it doesn't happen. Or you take the big faith risk step, and it doesn't work out. And we can start to think that God has failed us. We can start to think that the word is not true. Or we start viewing the word through a weird lens that it says something very clearly, but we say it means something else just to guard our heart against disappointment. Then there's the ultimate pastoral caveat that the word is true and God is true. The problem is you, right? Like we like to say that. The problem is you. Like you would have been healed if you had faith. If you only believed, then you would have been healed. Like, it's funny, you prayed for me and the problem's me. That's weird, because that's why I asked you to pray. Like, how did that work exactly, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? But we're talking about being poured out today. And Jesus said these words to his disciples. He said it to them on purpose. But what we have to recognize is he didn't just fly down from heaven riding a unicorn and say, "Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to give to you." Then right off on a rainbow, right? That's not how it worked. But we like to pick and choose. We like to pick and choose what God said and put it in whatever context that works for us. Yeah. And then we wonder why God's word didn't come to pass. Now, his word is not simple sentences. It is the nature of who he is. And we can find a phrase that justifies anything we want, but it's outside his nature. Amen? When children do that, we spank them. You said I could stay up, though. I didn't say till 2. I would never say you could stay up till 2, but you said I could stay up. Clearly, you know I didn't say you could stay up till 2. You know what I'm saying here? But yet, as children of God, we kind of put that on God. But you said this, God. Clearly, I didn't mean that. Clearly, I didn't mean that. And so we're going to try to dig in and see what God is talking about today so we can position ourselves to receive the pouring out that he's doing. Amen? Amen. Now, we find this passage of Scripture both here in Luke, and we also find it in Matthew chapter 6. And as you read the Word of God, it's important to understand that the Scriptures, it's not an instruction book. It's not a manual. It's not a programming guide. It's not like the laws of the land that teach you how far behind the next car you have to be or how many feet you have to put on a turn signal before you turn. As a matter of fact, if you read this in Matthew 6 and you compare it to here, the stories sound different. They sound different, not contradictory, but different. Why? The Scriptures are written by people. When my wife and I need to get directions to places, my wife likes to, we love Google, so we Google the directions. Like, I'm a guy who doesn't mind using a map. Hallelujah. That's what the map app has changed about humanity. Men will look at maps now. Back when I was young, men just drove and said, I know where we're going, and refused to stop for directions. Now we don't have to ask anybody because we can use an app. And that's gotten women happy ever since, right? Because now we actually get places and we don't get lost nearly like we used to. But when we get directions, my wife likes to have the directions written out step by step. I just want to see the map. Hear me. I like to see the map. She likes detailed instructions. Which one of us is wrong? Both of us is going to get us there. But both of us process information differently. Right? Matthew and Luke, the two books of the Bible, were not both handwritten by Holy Spirit, right? It wasn't what they call autonomic writing, where Holy Spirit took power over the pen and supernaturally wrote the Scripture. That's not how it happened. God is Spirit. He speaks to our spirit. That revelation comes through our soul and into our flesh, and we speak it, and we recognize it, and we do it, and it has to come through the soul of our personality. And because Luke and Matthew are different people, that was expressed slightly different. When you read the book of Matthew, there's lots and lots and lots of words of Jesus. There's little commentary. That's because the call on Matthew's life. When we look at Luke, Luke was a doctor examining the historical facts of who Jesus was and what happened, and he tells a lot of what was happening with the disciples. He tells a lot of how people were processing what Jesus was doing. He doesn't list what Jesus said in detail as much as Matthew did, because that's a call on Matthew's life. Are you with me? Neither one is untrue. God has not changed. They're not contradictory. But God speaks to us differently. That's why there's four Gospels and Jesus didn't write any of them. Four different people talked about what happened. Three of them were there. One investigated and wrote the book about it. Are you with me? And so it's important, since we have four people writing this. Can you imagine if you bought a widget, you bought a piece of technical equipment, and you got four manuals for it, and they're all different. Can you imagine that? And four people wrote how they think you should set this thing up, and you're like, well, this don't make no kind of sense. I asked for a manual, and I have four different manuals here. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how frustrating that would be? Can you imagine that I'm talking right now, and I'm asking for you to reply to me? Can you just lean into that for a second? That would be confusing. Why would they do that? Because they're all actually pointing you to God and want you to listen to Him on what this means for your life. Are you with me? There is such a faith that God has in His ability to speak to you. Jesus was really, really, really sure the Holy Spirit would speak to the people for the next 1,000, 2,000, however many thousands of years till He comes back. He set the Scriptures up and said, this is awesome, but without Holy Spirit, none of this is going to work. It's just going to be another religion on the earth. And so they set it up in a way that we had to actually like read and pray. We had to ask Him, Holy Spirit, what does this mean for me? Now, when we connect with God, we all come to the same basic conclusions about who God is, what His death, burial, and resurrection mean. Amen? What righteousness is, role of Holy Spirit. It's amazing that in a couple thousand years, even though Jesus didn't Himself write a manual, we've come to the same conclusions all over the planet. Because there's one God guiding this whole thing. And if you're running an organization, this is a really bad way to run an organization, right? It's just, it's not a good plan, right? If this were a man-made organization, this would be, church number, 1428 of East Boca, right? Like, then we would all get the same thing, and there would be rules, and there are people inspecting, and that's how man would do it. But God is like, no, I'm perfectly secure that I can guide this thing. I'm perfectly secure that I can shepherd this entire global flock. And I can have each region know what they need to speak. And each one, I'm going to speak to what's happening locally. And I'm going to birth something different in different areas. And I'm going to shepherd them all separately, but at the same point, the global church at the same time. That is amazing to me. It's just absolutely amazing. Now, when you look at the totality of what Christians believe, we argue about the 0.5% that we disagree with that, by and large, don't matter. They just don't matter. The kind of things that separate us as a church are, when's Jesus going to return? I don't know if you know this, but you have no power over that. But we're going to disagree on something we have no power over. Doesn't make a lot of sense. We separate over things that the original apostles didn't even care about. The atonement. What happened in the atonement exactly, and what exactly was the process, and what exactly did Jesus do on the cross? You know what he did? He brought us in connection with God. That's what he did. Now, was it penal substitution? Why does that matter? What? Will that change the cross? No. Will that change where we go? No. Do you have to agree with these words that aren't in the Bible in order to have faith in God? No. Should people be studying that? Yeah. Very important that we study that. It's really, really important that we study that. Is it important that we separate based on that? No. Are you with me? So you could sit over here and you could think that, you know, it's Christus Victus or different versions of that. You could be over here, think penal substitution. You could be premillennial, amillennial, post. I mean, it just doesn't really matter. We all believe that God is good. He loves us, and we're supposed to be sharing that with the world. It's only through the birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can come into a relationship with God. And He is the only way to the Father. That is the truth. And if you don't believe that, now we're talking about different religions. Right now we're talking, okay, that's something I'm willing to disagree on publicly. But without Christ, yeah, we're talking about a different religion, right? But we can disagree on all kinds of stuff and still be believers. And watch this, you can still be friends with people who disagree on that too. You can even be pastored by someone who does not hold your pet doctrine. It's really true. I know that because it's happening with me. It's happening with me. I have leaders and I'm like, hey, I just want to let you guys know, I think that's crazy. I think that's crazy. I just want to let you know, I love you. Love you. I want to stay in relationship. That right there, though, that's crazy. That's, to me, that's crazy. You love me still? Oh, great. We're still in relationship. Okay. I want you to come here. Don't preach on that, though, because that's crazy, right? But come, you know, share what's good on your life, what I think is good on your life. Share that, you know? Share that, because I want to honor that. I want to honor that. Right? Are you with me?
Yeah.
See, we make Jesus' tent so small, I can't wait to get to heaven and laugh at my, this, I probably won't because I'll have a pure heart then. But I'll laugh at all the shocked people. I don't think you should have gotten here. Like, he's on the throne and he said it's okay, you know? Right? Like, do you think that's going to happen? You think our heart will be more pure and we'll think that in heaven? What do you think? Like, I'm not sure how that works. Let's divide over that issue, shall we? Let's argue about that issue, shall we? Will there be bitterness in heaven? Maybe that's the tear he's going to wipe away. I can't believe she's here. She's like, I love her now. I'm sorry. Oh boy, 15 minutes. Hey, so, hallelujah. So I don't know. I hope someone got something out of that because that's not in my notes. Here's my point. We can't pick and choose scriptures, and we can't dump whole chapters of scripture to support our pet theologies. If you cannot see the other side's argument in your beliefs, then you don't really hold that belief. You have to be able to say, yeah, I see how you can come to that conclusion, but I don't agree. Yeah. Right? And we can't pick and choose scripture because that sets us up for a failure. Because that whole other side of scripture that we're Disregarding is still there, and it's still working, and it's still moving whether we believe it or not. And if we set our life foundation up on half-truths, that will fall. It will fail. We have to be humble enough to say, I don't know everything. I don't know everything. And so I envy the faith of the ardent atheist because I'm not there. Like, wow, you're pretty sure on something you have no actual proof on. Like, that's amazing to me that you'd be that excited about something you made up. Like, that is like, wow. Like, that's amazing to me. Like, I don't have that ability to deny Jesus because I met him. And so now I don't know what I mean, like saying I didn't meet Mike, you know, that'd be hard for me to come to that conclusion. Are you with me? Yeah. That I didn't meet him because I did, you know, well, you know, we'll argue scripture. Well, I don't, that whole thing could be wrong that you're arguing, but I met him. You're going to have to deal with that one. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. So when you talk to people about your faith, quit trying to argue them into a corner. I was talking with a high school student. And they were talking about, you know, a lot of non-believers, and it's cool. Like, look, I don't believe. Look how cool I am. Yeah, it's hot in hell, you know. But and so they, like, out-argue the high school student. I'm like, yeah, you know, people can out-argue and still be wrong. It's not a debate competition to get to heaven. You know, the winners of the debate get, you know. And so when you tell people something like, but I met him. No, you didn't. No, I was there. I was there. I didn't see you there, but I was there. And I met him. Right? That's witnessing right there. That's sharing your faith. No, I met him. Well, how do you know? Well, you got time? Like, I got stories for days. I got stories for days about miracles at God that are physically impossible that he did. Friday night, Kellyanne was supposed to teach in the burning room. And I forget things sometimes, right? And so we're in the burning room, and the anointing of God drops, and I just start talking on the mic. I'm prophesying. Good things are happening. It doesn't stop. Travis is like, hey, I'm supposed to do the announcements. I'm like, those will happen later. We're doing something here, right? And I'm just going in, and I'm talking to Corey afterwards because I just took the entire time of the burning room. It was good, though. Amen. Yeah. Thank you for healing my soul here. And so afterwards, Corey's like, oh, yeah, you know, Kellyanne was supposed to speak tonight. I was like, oh, goodness. Oh, no, that's bad. And she said, oh, yeah, but last night, meaning Thursday night, Thursday, Kellyanne told Corey, I don't think I'm supposed to talk tomorrow. Wow. Oh, well, what do you know? Because I went there thinking, I'm not talking at all. I just want to lay on the ground and enjoy God's presence. And I get there, anointing God falls on me. God starts, hey, start talking. I talk. That's little, right? Like, that's Kellyanne wasn't offended that I talked because God already told her in her spirit, man, hey, you're not going to talk tomorrow. She's like, oh, I'm following God. It's not that pastor took my time. Yeah. I'm following God. And it wasn't me trying to kick Kellyanne out because I think I just felt like that was what I was supposed to. And so here we are following God together, and God just orchestrated. And you're like, well, that's not a big thing, but that's how I live. Yeah. That's the life I live. And someone's like, well, you know, over here on page 872 of the Bible, he said, like, I don't know about that, but I know that, you know, he told me to get up and talk, and he told somebody else the day before that they weren't going to talk, and then I talked, and people encounter God, so to me, the circumstantial evidence is such that there is a spirit being out there directing us, and he's introduced himself to me as Jesus. Right? And so as we see in the scriptures, this is what the scriptures are based on. People had an encounter with God, and they're trying to tell the story of what they... Now, I'm not saying the Word of God is man-made. Because we know the Holy Spirit breathed upon men and they were inspired and wrote Scripture. That all Scripture is true. Right? The totality of Scripture is true. Right? Everything that the Bible says that Jesus did, he actually did. They're not allegorical. He actually, and the things that he said, he actually said, and he meant them. He said them and he meant them. Right? And so it's important, if we're going to take something out of a story that was told in the scriptures, that we actually put it, watch this, in context. Because there's a bigger point that he's trying to make than the actual words that are written down. How many of you know that you can follow every word in this thing and not know God? How many of you know you can know God and not have ever read the Bible? Right? I don't advise it, but it's possible. I don't have time to go down that road. But it's important for you to understand that God is holding nothing back from you. He's holding nothing back from us. So let me tell you the story here in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 72, right? He sends out 72 and he tells them things like, why don't you just go heal people? How'd you like the God? Hey, why don't you just go heal people? Excuse me? What was that? Yeah, go heal people. And go do miracles. And while you're at it, forgive sins. Hey, I'm sorry. What was that again? I don't have a temple. Do I have to bring a bull for sacrifices? Like, how does this work? I don't understand, right? And they go out and they do amazing stuff. And they're like, this is crazy because I'm doing stuff that I can't actually do. This is crazy. And Jesus is like, yeah, that's, you know, how we roll, right? That's what he says. Then they get a little smart, right? Let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. So after Jesus talks to them, they're like, oh, hey, we notice that you're not freaking out when you do this stuff, and we're kind of freaking out when we try to do this stuff. So, hey, so it says, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Like, you're getting this stuff from somewhere, and can you teach us how to get it? Now, John, of course, taught them methods of prayer. Jesus himself was going to put the spirit of prayer upon them. When you pray with the people discipling you, there is a relational aspect of Christianity that comes upon you, that you get to enter into that you didn't sow for. If you're being discipled by someone, and I hope you are, and you ever find out that you can pray with them, get to the place of prayer with them. Because you get to enter into their relationship with God. And that's the ultimate connect that you're looking for. You want to enter into that. That is like the warm lead if you're in sales, right? Like that's the I've set up for the close. Once you come on in and just, I've already done the work. Like, oh, that's his nature. That's how he's talking. Wow, let me just get involved in that, right? And so they say to him, hey, that prayer thing you do, it's kind of different than what we've seen. How do I get involved in that, right? It's important to know, I love the word of God, but it's so important to know God, right? And so Jesus says to them, now, this is kind of funny. Jesus says to them, verse 2, he says, when you pray, say, Father, holy is your name, your kingdom come, give us each day. Now, it's different than it was in Matthew. Watch this. He says, when you pray, say, Father, holy is your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves are also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not to temptation. So here's Jesus saying, okay, and this is how Luke heard it, right? Through the storytelling. So Jesus says, hey, okay, here's how you pray. It's important to connect with God. It's important to walk in forgiveness. It's important to understand that you need forgiveness. I want you to live in a way that you're depending on God for your very, very sustenance, right? He's saying these religious things aren't going to work anymore. You can't just get a quorum. You can't just have a group of men and you say some words that you may or may not understand, and then that's good enough. I'm telling you to do things like ask God to forgive you of your sins. I'm telling you that in your prayer time, you have to actually walk in forgiveness. You know, there's whole religions that just quote this prayer as if that works. And it doesn't. If you're not actually forgiving people, you're not praying the prayer. If you're not actually asking for forgiveness, you're not praying the prayer. If you're not actually telling God, I'm trusting you for my daily provision, you're not praying the prayer. He wasn't inventing prayers. He wasn't writing a prayer book. He was inviting them into his prayer life. Are you with me? This is a difference we talked about a few months ago, the difference between ethics and morals, right? Ethics is a set of rules that we follow based on our morality. Morals is a code of right and wrong that we're supposed to live by. Jesus is imparting a moral code on how we relate to God, right? And so then Jesus got jokes, ready? 11, verse 5. Then he says to them, he tells them the Lord's Prayer, then he says to him, suppose one of you has a friend. Imagine the guys, he's like, stretch your faith and believe that you have a friend. If you're lonely, you got company. Suppose you had a friend. Like, wait a minute, what does that mean right now? I don't understand. So Jesus says to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend. So he's like, he's imparting faith for friendship here. Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Excuse me. I have nothing to set before him. And from inside, he answers and says, don't bother me. The door has already been locked, been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he, what's that word say? Yes. So he's saying you got a friend who went to bed, and you got another friend who shows up, and you're like, I got to give my friend something. I need you to wake up and give me something to give my friend. And he's like, well, I'm in bed. You keep asking, because this guy is going to get moved, and he's going to give you some bread. Now, I've heard this verse taught said that you need to keep annoying God until he gives you what you want. That's not really what this is saying. That's not the moral of the story, so to speak. Are you with me? What this is saying is, if you have real friends, suppose you had real friends. Real friendship displays an obligation to love. Friends who don't want to make themselves vulnerable to you aren't really friends. They're guarding themselves. Real friendship makes a commitment to love and a value for love. And they understand we have an obligation to love. And a real friend says, I understand that you have to show love to your visitor. And since I love you, I am obligated to help you meet that need of love. Are you with me? When you're poured out to God, it's not about you. When you're poured out to God, it's not about you. You're willing to do for others in a way that you won't do for yourself. When you love, you will do things for others that you won't do, that you wouldn't do for yourself. I'm not going to bother my neighbor at 2 a.m. for bread. But if I have a hungry traveler show up my door, I need to show them hospitality. I'll bother my neighbor so I can bless the one I love. I'm willing to pour out my honor, my respect in the way I look so I can show love to someone who needs it to meet their need. Are you with me? There's an obligation for love. And Jesus says, listen, when you pour yourself out like that, the world responds. When you're poured out to your will, to what you want, to benefiting yourself, you can tap into a limitless supply of what God has. Now, of course, that starts with love. Jesus started the ball rolling that says, you guys are deprived of love. I'm going to pour out love so you can have a love that you never experienced, because that's what you really need. And I'm going to fill you up with it so much that you'll be able to show this love to the world. Then I'm going to put on your heart the needs of people around you so you can give them that love. It is in this context, verse 9 comes in. So I say to you, ask, and it'll be given. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, to him who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. It's in the context of, surely if you're looking to love, if you're looking to meet the needs of someone, there's nothing that you can't have from God. There's nothing that will be denied you when you're looking to meet the world's needs. Money? Money means nothing to God. He paves the roads with it in heaven. It means nothing to him. Jewels means nothing to him. Love? Love is everything, but he pours it out freely. He pours it out freely. Anything you ask in his name, he'll do. When you're in that place of meeting needs, the key is when your heart is right, you don't get in the place of his presence and ask for an Audi. When your heart is right and His love is tangible in the room, you don't say, Lord, if I could just be the envy of my friends. When the presence of God comes in the room, and when you see Him in His beauty, and you see His love poured out on the cross, you see how He poured Himself out. You say, what am I holding on to? What in this world am I holding on to? I want to pour this thing out like Jesus did. And Jesus is like, if you pour yourself out, I promise you, I will fill you back up. I will fill you up if you promise to pour that out. And as you learn to pour yourself out in what God gives you, you tap into a never-ending supply of God's goodness. You get into that place where it's not about you. All of a sudden, whatever you ask in His name, He'll do. There's no door closed to you. James summed it up in James chapter 4. He says, you ask and don't receive. That's me. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Does that mean God wants you to be miserable? No, that's not what He's saying. But He's saying you're not tapping into the overflowing supply of God because you're asking out of insecurity. You're asking thinking that your amazing Father in heaven isn't going to supply what you need to begin with. This whole verse, this whole scripture, this whole story is based on the fact that He's a good Father and He's going to meet your needs. If you trust Him. He said, listen, ask Him, supply my needs today. Jesus told us to trust God for His for your supply. And based on that, He says, hey, if you see anybody else in need, I got you for that too. Are you with me? Man, I'm only 4 minutes over. I'm amazing. Hallelujah. Miracles are happening. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. I see so many of you with great calls on your life. And you've been spending all your time trying to achieve the call instead of just achieving His presence. It's in His presence that all this stuff is birthed. The call of God is where you're going to wind up. Hear me, it's where you're going to wind up. What does that look like? That's none of your business. Follow God. Does this make sense? We're going to sing the song that we sing in the burning room. We're going to sing it once, and then I'm going to pray for you. You can sit, you can stand, do what you want. Don't stand just because you saw somebody else. Like, I want you to connect with God right now, and then I'm going to pray for you.
Something higher. I am a vessel.
You're sent here to be a vessel of His goodness.
I'll give you my life to find it, laid down at your feet. Wow. Spirit of God, breathe on it. I am a vessel. My life is not my own. 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 My life is not my own.
Well, let's declare it together.
If you fill me, I'll give it away. I'll pour out my life like an oil. Pour out my life like an oil. If you fill me, I'll give it away. I'll pour out my life like an oil. Pour out my life like an oil. It away. I'll pour out my life like an oil.
Jesus spoke to me and told me to pastor a group of kids, 17-year-olds. We started this thing, coming into my big call of God. The big prayer requests were like that they would pass their FCAT so they can get out of high school. They could get at least part-time hours. I mean, like, that was the big... I didn't know it turned into this. No idea. Just following Jesus. And so, I just want to pray for everybody here, but I believe some of you, like, if you need to go, that's... I mean, we woke up early. I get it. There's no shame. But some of you need to give your life away this morning. We're just going to open up the altar here. I just want to pray for everybody right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would move in our hearts in a way that we would trust your goodness and not be scared, not hold on to our little crumb, our little loaf of bread and fish. Instead, we would trust you with it, Jesus, that you would multiply it for everyone around us. That the love you've put in our heart, we don't have to protect it, but we give it away. So I bless these today, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would bless and keep them, that this week would be amazing for them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. We love you. Amen. We're going to go back into worship right now. And I know that some of you need to give your life away this morning. I had no idea the song was written in-house. I didn't know that you wrote that. Hallelujah. Come on. God is doing something here in this house. Take us there, Kellyanne.
I am a vessel.
The altar is open.
If you need to
make history with God this morning, I want to invite you forward to come and allow Him to touch you.
Spirit of God, breathe on it. I am a vessel. My life is not my own.
Come on, give Him your bread and your fish this morning.
I am a vessel. I'll lay down my life to find it. Lay down at your feet. Spirit of God, breathe on it. I am a vessel. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. My 'Cause you are the potter, and I am the clay. You are the potter, and I am the clay. You love every nation, every person. He's a precious child you died to save. Oh, that I would give my life away for them, oh God. If you fill me, I'll give it away. I'll pour out my life like an oil. Pour out my life like an oil. It's not about me. If you fill me, I'll give it away. Pour out my life like an oil. Pour out my life like an oil.
Spirit of prophecy is on you. Just let it flow.
I give my life away.
Come on, walk into this prayer life right now. Those of you still here, you're probably called to something.
I give my life away.
She's inviting you into her prayer life right now.
Not just for a moment, not just in a service, not when it's anointed, not when it's calling me at the altar. When I don't feel it, every day, every breath, every moment, not just right now, but when I leave, I give my life to you, Jesus. Every moment, every breath in my lungs, till my very last breath, I give it to you, oh God. I'll pour out my life like an oil. I'll pour out my life like an oil. I'll pour out my life like an oil. To my dying breath, Jesus. Not just right now, not just right now.
In the name of Jesus, we pray that you would give us opportunities to pour ourselves out this week and make room for you in our lives, Lord. We love you. You're so wonderful, so beautiful, so beautiful. Father, I bless these with your.